Welcome to Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Tyson.
And I'm your host, Porter.
And we're both writers, editors, and part-time filmmakers who love superheroes. Welcome to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're going to be talking about episodes 5 and 6 of Peacemaker Season 1 on our rewatch. These episodes are a lot of fun and a lot happens. Tyson, what are some of your first, you know, gotta get out?
I think the thing that I love about these two episodes back to back is they're both pretty action-packed. Even though there's obviously a lot more character development, we see some, you know, changes in relationships and attitudes. They both kind of have a big event, that being them storming the warehouse and, you know, the attempted capture of Peacemaker at his trailer.
Right, yeah, they're both really the center of these two episodes, which makes them an easy watch, right?
Totally. There's like some really compelling action, like driving it forward.
Yeah, we learn a lot about butterflies in these two episodes. Like, most questions are answered, I feel like.
Yeah. I think one of the coolest reveals was, you know, we got that crazy cliffhanger with Murn being a butterfly. Adebayo finding out that he was a butterfly with Peacemaker's cool little X-ray helmet.
Yeah.
And then her just finding out that the rest of the team, minus, you know, Peacemaker and Vigilante, also knows this, but just doesn't, like, worry about it.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I feel like the kind of the lore drop he gives where he's like, yeah, we take over people, but we're just kind of chilling. We're looking for a place to live until some of them really wanted to take over the world. That's when I kind of deserted and tried to stop them. There's a lot here. I mean, you also get the really funny scene with Vigilante and Peacemaker trying to communicate with the butterfly that was in Senator Goff. And it's so funny, but it starts out with it giving them like a peace sign, which makes you wonder, like, okay, what are the butterflies really wanting to do? Because at first you're like, okay, maybe they're just trying to live their lives, but then it ends up going into Detective Song, which the actress plays it so well, where it's like she has to play herself, but possessed, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And she kills it. Like, there's a stark difference.
Yeah, she does a really fun job of that. But then, and I know I'm like jumping all over the place, but I just want to stay on this thread of like what we found out about the butterflies is then she kind of calls all of like this horde of butterflies, which they show up in like little spaceships. So now we know that that is a little spaceship.
Right.
Which is funny to me because they have wings. I don't know, but maybe it's for like long travel. I don't know, but then they go and storm like the police department building and everyone gets a butterfly in them and even the prisoners.
It's kind of a crazy reveal that we get. I almost, at least when I first watched this, believed that, you know, there might be more to what Judah Master was saying when he was talking about butterflies aren't what you think. And then he got shot, right? There was that kind of like
that. Yeah. Like, what on earth was he going to say? That loose thread.
Right. Loose thread. And when, you know, Goff put up that peace sign and was trying to communicate with them, right? Peacemaker's talking like, are you here to take us over? And Goff said no. And I was like, oh, so maybe Peacemaker is on the wrong side of things. But yeah, as soon as he took over Song and we get the explanation from Murn, it seems pretty clear that they are trying to stop an alien invasion and Goff is kind of, you know, heading up that.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think like he's definitely was just saying peace to get out is kind of what it looks like.
Oh, at this for sure. Point. But yeah, we get some really fun team dynamics throughout these two episodes. Starting off this fifth episode with the PowerPoint explaining butterflies.
Yeah, Economos's PowerPoint butterflies with the chimp next to geez. And like all of the transitions in the world.
It's incredible. Yeah, and just Peacemaker and Vigilante like heckling it endlessly and Murn trying to keep things on track. Like, it's just an awful and fantastic dynamic. Even having seen it before, I was still laughing pretty hard.
It's so funny. And it does a good bit of character work, because Peacemaker's still like mad about his dad getting framed, which says a lot about Peacemaker to like care about his dad, even though his dad's like a terrible person.
Oh, for sure.
But anyway.
Well, and Peacemaker seems to have kind of these builds in emotion. And I think it was Adebayo who called it out, talking about how, you know, he acts like has this facade of like being a jerk, right? To just kind of like, you know, play himself up. But, you know, if people actually get to know him, they might actually like him, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, kind of came out in this PowerPoint. Obviously, he's just like absolutely like hammering Economos. And then as soon as he's like, look, I'm sorry for putting your dad in prison, he's like, then why did you do it? And you're like, oh, yeah. Well, that was the heart of the conflict.
Totally.
And that great, where he's just like a solid 45 seconds of him just listing off celebrities he could have put in prison.
Oh, it's so funny. Luckily, like, Adebayo immediately after is like, hey, chill, dude. Then in the next scene, they're riding in a bus and they kind of like bond a little, Economos and Peacemaker, over a song, 11th Street Boys, which ends up being like the group chat name. But yeah, they kind of bond over music, which is very fun and unique.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to get them bonding over this really obscure band, Hanoi Rocks, that like nobody's really heard of, but like Peacemaker is kind of, you know, making fun of the others for like, what? Like, these are the guys that started glam rock. How do you not know Hanoi Rocks? And there's kind of like a cool arc for him and Economos, especially at the end of this warehouse raid where Economos low-key saves his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're pretty cool after that, but we get like the kind of tie-in with the gorilla that was just mentioned on the news earlier for like what seemed like no reason.
Well, yeah, and you had mentioned it when we were watching it, and I was the same way when I first saw this. I thought it was going to be like a Gorilla Grodd thing.
Oh, yeah.
But nope, it's Charlie the Gorilla. And that whole warehouse raid is so funny. Like, it's just, it's fun to watch. The action's good. And then the inclusion of a gorilla just makes it go from like, what to what on earth, right? Like,
oh, totally.
It adds that unique element of, oh, okay, like this is still weird and goofy. I kind of feel like we're in an era of superhero movies where they're embracing the goofiness of it, right? Like, you have the new Superman movie, you have the Peacemaker stuff, which is very goofy. And most recently, Fantastic Four came out, and that was kind of embracing the goofier side of comic bookness. And
yeah, it's definitely like a more lighthearted feel, and they kind of just accept that like these are crazy premises that we're kind of tackling here.
Yeah, and people love it. I really think they are grappling towards it.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, kind of moving on into like some of the other characters, I think one cool thing about Adebayo throughout these two episodes is we're starting to see her breaking down a bit. In the previous episodes, we kind of saw her turning a little bit into her mom, where she like try and take charge of things and like manipulate Vigilante into killing Peacemaker's dad.
Right.
And it's kind of a dark move for somebody who's like never killed anybody. There's this whole bit with the journal, which we haven't, you know, seen or heard of since it was mentioned in the first episode. So it's kind of fun to get that planting again, but she immediately feels super bad about it.
Literal planting of the diary in his apartment. Anyway.
She feels terrible about it. She like calls her wife afterwards and is just like, listen, this job is messing me up. Like, we need to talk. And it's clear that this is like having an effect on her. We even get that heart to heart with her wife towards the end of episode 6, where she's just like, I'm not built for this. Like, this is starting to hurt me.
Yeah, I feel like their relationship, it's just enough for me to like care about them being okay. It's kind of toeing that line for me of like, I don't care about their relationship. And also, I'm not like really super invested. It kind of feels like just enough for me to be like, oh, I hope they end up okay.
You know? For sure. I don't know. Well, and they don't do a ton of character development on her wife specifically. But I think, you know, the amount that we start to see Adebayo struggling, you want her to be able to have, right, like a happy marriage.
For sure.
I think one of the great mentions, going back to this PowerPoint bit, is about Peacemaker being a bit of a bully.
Yeah.
They make a lot of joke, or they bring up a lot of moments where, like, you know, he just like made up really cruel nicknames for people and stuff like that. And I think the greatest line out of all of that was Peacemaker being all like, well, I was bullied in high school. All these people ganging up on me, calling me a bully, that hurt my feelings. He's just kind of the worst.
He's totally in denial. Like, he's just so oblivious.
Oh, totally. And I think that's what makes those lines about, you know, if you kind of drop the facade, if you like start being kind to people, people might actually like you, right? We get that crying moment where he's just like, you push everybody away. Like, it really just makes it hit harder when you see him lean into being a jerk, when you're just like, no, but there's potential there.
Yeah, he really just, kind of like you said in a previous episode, he's a lovable jerk.
He is.
And it's really good to see him very slowly but surely kind of move towards the direction of just trying to be a more wholesome person. And he's clearly, you know, sensitive. And it's really just his childhood, right, man? I mean, it's a very funny sequence up to this point, but the beginning of the sixth episode when he's at the kids' school, like show and tell. And it's really funny, these questions these kids are asking. But then the kid's like, oh, what's your origin? And then he just like totally snaps that out of it.
Beautiful shot where it's just like just part of his face. And you can just see him like really starting to like have a moment. It's dark and comedic at the same time, but very well done.
Totally.
I love that whole sequence. It was fun to get that like reintroduction of the janitor that we had in that first episode.
Yeah, because we both really enjoy him.
Oh, he's a great character. And yeah, once again, the kid's asking like really specific questions that are getting to Peacemaker, and he's just having his jerkish reaction to them. And his like nicknames for the kids are crazy.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Seriously.
But yeah, you can see that, right? Clearly he has an origin story that he just does not want to talk about, and they kind of get into it more later, but it's clear that there's some darkness there.
Yeah, it's really a lot of, I don't know, it's been in these two episodes, it's been a lot of little moments with Peacemaker getting his close internal moments of just like, I don't know, man. But I feel like it kind of bubbles up. I don't know if bubbles up is the right word, but we get kind of confirmation of what's going on in his head when we get that nice scene when Harcourt is like, hey, I put a dove of peace on your weapon. And he's like, it's the wrong way. But he's like, ah, that's not the reason I didn't want to kill. Maybe I just don't want to kill anymore. And it's kind of that, wait, but that's like your whole shtick, right?
Totally. For him to be able to like verbalize that is huge.
Yeah. It kind of makes you wonder, like, what are his plans for his future? Like, who does he want to be? Because he was literally hired just to kill. Luckily, like he said, he's fine killing aliens. But it does get really muddy when your whole identity is around killing people for peace, and it sounds like he doesn't want to do that anymore.
Right, that the idea of peace maybe isn't as tantalizing anymore, or that, you know, maybe the lines aren't so black and white anymore. Like, he's kind of reached this gray area, and he does not like it.
Yeah, and, well, okay, so really quick, just because of this scene, you had mentioned, or you found out that Harcourt, like the actress for Harcourt, is James Gunn's wife.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, I was, you know, looking up reviews for the new season, and I was looking up, I found out they had a podcast on it. I was kind of checking that out, and, you know, they have actors and everything from there, and they were just like, yeah, James Gunn and his wife. And I was like, wait, who's his wife? It's Harcourt. which is crazy to me. She's a brilliant actress. She plays the role wonderfully.
It's just fun that they get to do that together.
It really is.
It's so cool.
Yeah, she's a total bad A in this show, and I don't know, that was a fun little tidbit to know that like they're married.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm glad you found out, because that's really fun.
So yeah, fun little tidbit for y'all. But yeah, we get kind of this B story subplot with Augie Smith being in prison, and, you know, he's wanting to rat on his son because he really hates his son, and they do the diligence, right? They kind of check the fingerprints and everything, and they figure out, right, like, he shouldn't be in there. He was totally framed. And Mern has a buddy who, just is chief. They have, like, really high connections in the government, supposedly.
Yeah, the super creepy Captain Locke.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Somebody who's able to like pull the strings, and you know, Detective Song is just that classic, like, you know, all for justice, won't play by the rules sort of cop.
Totally. So
she goes over his head and Augie Smith end up getting released.
Yeah, which is not the move. And yeah, the guy's just super like, what's his game? Is he just working for Mern? Does he have his own deal going on? And Peacemaker doesn't like him. Like, he creeps him out, oh, understandably for sure. So.
Well, and for a long time there, I really thought he was a butterfly with like the really creepy and off way that he acted.
Oh, totally. Like his voice, like rhythm is just.
It's off.
Yeah.
It is off. So props to the actor, unless that's just typecasting. But yeah, like it's, you know, confirmed that he isn't, because obviously the police station gets taken over later and he becomes a butterfly. But I think that's like an interesting side story that eventually, like, you know, comes into play, because now we have like the entire police force after Peacemaker. And from what it seems like, his dad and their whole clan gang after him too. And it's like kind of building to like, how is he going to get out of, you know, running away from these people and stopping the invasion?
Yeah, it feels like the season's definitely coming to its climax, and it feels natural and it feels good, right?
Oh yeah.
And yeah, it's a lot of fun, the bit when they're trying to raid his house. That's kind of the big moment for the butterflies, like if you were looking at their side of things. They're kind of about to get demolished. And then this raid happens, which causes Goff to break free, which causes Goff to inhabit one of the lead detectives. And then now they have like the entire law enforcement of that area, like under their control. It's a great way to up the stakes. And obviously Augie just being like, I have to kill my son. Like, that's a big deal.
No, it really seems like the most climactic way for things to go, because it's truly one of those like, how on earth is he going to get out of this sort of moments. I love that they have like this planting with the diary, because it's like, my guy intercepted it, right? It's safe, it's out of here. And then the guy gets controlled by the butterfly, so now the diary is released, and
yeah,
Waller has this backup plan of kind of pinning the whole, you know, butterfly thing as a conspiracy on Peacemaker in case things don't turn out. And now the butterflies have like police forces across the country on their side, even though they're not butterflies.
Yeah, that was a big, like, crazy way to end the episode, was, because one would think, like, watching it, that they would end the episode with the police force and the prisoners walking side by side as butterflies, and the
crazy cinematic and scary, everybody's, yeah, doing like their clans off smile
getting built up. Oh, it's, yeah, just like, oh no. But then it keeps going for like another 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it ends with that cliffhanger of like,
which is
Captain Locke
just so much worse.
Yeah. Just like being like, oh yeah, everything is Peacemaker's fault. And yeah, it's just like, oh shoot.
Oh my gosh. And I love where they placed that, because in between these two sequences, we get Peacemaker playing the piano. And I mean, it's not, you know, as maybe wholesome as some people might think. He's playing a Motley Crue song. It's still a very pretty song.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's specifically what Peacemaker might learn on the piano. And holy cow, that, I remember loving that. And I still love that scene so much. It like just shows like some like depth and soul to like this very 2D like jerk that Peacemaker is.
Yeah.
Right. He learned a song that he loves very much, and he's playing it in a very emotive way, right? Kind of this reminder before it all goes to hell.
And it's nice that, like, for the climax, they really have spent these six episodes building the team, right? I kind of feel, for the most part, besides Peacemaker not knowing that Mern is a butterfly, that they really are a team. Like, they've kind of all had their episodes of getting to like Peacemaker more, and Peacemaker building relationships with everyone. They even have, like, that, like I had mentioned earlier, the 11th Street kids group chat that they
yeah it's like such a wholesome moment for them to finally like have this like physical representation of them sort of banding together. They get the photo, everybody's smiling and enjoying kind of this camaraderie. It feels like a neat payoff for, like, you know, coming as far as they have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, I think, is what makes it extra devastating when, you know, things start to kind of break off. We got, like, Adebayo, right, obviously feeling like she doesn't want things with the team. Mern is kind of really stressed out because things are, like, absolutely on fire now, and he doesn't trust Peacemaker enough to, like, tell him about the butterfly thing. Obviously, there's still some struggle there, but it's a sweet moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the photo.
Totally. And geez, speaking of struggle, I love this sequence of Peacemaker escaping from his trailer. Once again, this is similar to escaping from the apartment building with that girl he slept with.
Yeah.
He is human, and I don't think we often get, like, reminders of that enough, right? Because he has this sweet tech, he has incredible aim, and, like, you know, he's pretty strong, but, like, he's still just a guy trying to, like, get away from the cops in a trailer park.
Seriously.
Right, like, climbing across the trees and stuff like that. I just, once again, the reminder that, like, he is so limited, and whereas most superheroes, even if it's just, like, plot armor, like, cops would never be an issue.
Right.
They're constantly an issue for Peacemaker.
Yeah, that definitely makes it just a lot more, like, everything can be a fun obstacle, right?
Totally.
It doesn't have to be, I mean, I know in this case it is, like, you have to save the world, but I feel like he's the type of hero that it doesn't have to be a save the world for it to be meaningful.
Totally. And it, you know, his arcs, at least in this first season and Suicide Squad, are in that realm of saving the world.
Right.
But yeah, like, it is very much on, like, a human level. But yeah, we appreciate you guys joining us for these last two episodes this week. Very excited next week to kind of break down the finale of Peacemaker Season 1 just before we get into the brand new season dropping of Peacemaker Season 2.
Yeah, we're super excited.
So yeah, we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.